We've just had a question in on the phones from Andy, and he wants to know, is the artificial gravity you see on Star Trek possible? So do you think that we could have some kind of artificial gravity system that would get over these effects?
So, I mean, that's a fascinating... Well, the whole of gravity is a fascinating subject. I mean, it's such a simply observed phenomenon. You know, you do it every day when you drop the dishes, but you watch it every day in action. And for something that's so ubiquitous in our experience, it's so poorly understood. And I guess the answer to that question is we're as far as I can see in anything, away from a machine that you sort of press an on button and suddenly, hey, press it, you've got gravity. However, you can produce gravitational loading just simply by spinning a vehicle up, having a rotating vehicle. And, you know, this is not a new idea. Hermann Oberth was thinking about it in 1923 at the onset of people thinking about rocketry. So artificial gravity... and some of the stuff that I've been working on in Houston with Johnson Space Center, which involves just rotating vehicles, is really nothing more than that trick you pull off when you have a bucket full of water on the end of a rope and you spin it around your head and the water stays in the bucket. So I very much think that the future of space exploration will include at some point that sort of vehicle, a rotating vehicle.
Like in Space Odyssey. I think, Chris, did you have a question for Kevin?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. I'm just wondering, because it just occurred to me as you were talking, about body clocks and things. Because when an astronaut goes into space, they're obviously orbiting the Earth faster than the Earth is turning, usually. So what does that do to their body clock? Because we normally rely on the sun and the night to set our body clock so we don't get jet-lagged.
No, that's quite right. Circadian rhythms are really tough. In fact, my very good friend Dan Tanney is on Expedition 16, which is flying at the moment, and in the days just before he launched, we were talking to him, and first of all, they have to shift them. So space station runs on Greenwich Mean Time, so they have to shift them to the day of the launch so that they're actually waking up and going to sleep at the right time. I mean, you don't want to have a crew who've just been fired at 17,000 miles an hour into low Earth orbit feeling a bit sleepy because they're on the wrong side of the day. And then once they get up there, they get 90-minute light-dark cycles. They see the sun come up and go down over 90 minutes. And it does mess with their sleep patterns. I mean, there are many things that tell your body when it should be awake and going to sleep, and these things are like, they're called Zeitgebers, which literally means time givers. And these things include when you're eating, what temperature it is, but the most potent one is light and dark itself. And on Space Shuttle and on Space Station, that's happening very, very rapidly. So this basically boils down to the fact that boils down to the result that astronauts take tranquilizers like they're going out of fashion. They kind of need a lot of help going to sleep.
Sounds like journalists and people who present radio programs from the wrong hemisphere to me.
Absolutely.
Kevin, thanks very much for joining us. It's been wonderful having you on the program. That's Kevin Fong. He's a space physiologist based at University College London.